Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August 7th, 2018. It is 1 p.m. and we're assembled in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room for a legal counsel update. We will start with item number one, resolution number 2018-blank in the matter of referring to Josephine County voters at November 6th, 2018 election, an advisory question on marijuana.
Yes, so these would need to be filed with the clerk, thank you, on August 17th, so we'd be looking to aim them at next week's business session, if the board does want to go forward on any of these. So that paints a little bit of context for the timeline in which we're working. Where we last left off on the marijuana non-binding question regarding marijuana taxation, so Commissioner DeYoung was going to kind of shop it around to some of the other counties, and I was going to write an explanatory statement. So the explanatory statement is now here. Basically done. I did need to confer with the board on the last sentence of it, but beyond that, I guess it's just up to the board whether you want to keep pressing forward on this or do something different.
Questions?
Have other counties been receptive?
I haven't heard back from any of them, to be honest with you, but as far as, gee, we're going to go forward on it, or gee, we're not.
You know, what's challenging is the fact that I don't think that I remember any of them having asked non-binding questions since I've been in office. So it's kind of like,
is it
a new thing?
Yeah.
It's not like their thing. So there's like a 2-degree push to get them, A, you know you can do this and you should, and B, sure would help our idea if everybody in the region said yes to the question and some sort of a reception. So I can see that that's a tough lift in the first year. I do think that regionally fire could be that, you know, you guys are in halfway beginning of your terms. Getting it done, you're starting with something where everybody's experiencing the heat of the fires and the smoke and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so if we could build regional cohesiveness around asking maybe a fire question, that might... So I don't have any questions. I think we need to ask the marijuana one. It's just, are we doing it that serves the next step? Don't get to the next step and say, oh, you should have asked the question to address this element. Should the legislature do afford us the opportunity? Is that, because the question right now is, should the county do something? If we had discretion, we talk about how that we don't have discretion, but, you know,
well, I think this will just, what this is going to do is if we get this back, should the county do something, then we go to the legislature with that and say, well, how do your people really feel about it? Instead of like last time, oh, nobody seems to be really interested in it, this will give us some marbles in the game, you know? This is what it came back from our people. It's very much like the 65-35 we had on the other ordinance, so... I think that's what we're looking for here is just to see what the tone is out in our own county with our own constituents.
So can you push back on that nobody in your county is receptive to this? Well,
right.
70% say they'd like the discretion of the county to be able to do this. Okay.
Right.
What's next?
Next is then going to the legislature with this. Then we go to the legislature, and
they think we should be able to, so therefore we need you to let us.
Yeah.
Essentially, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We go to the legislature with a long session. We've been in contact with quite a few of the representatives, three from local that I'm going to meet with, Gary Leaf and even our local guys here. Dallas Hurd called yesterday. And he wants to set in, and so we're going to have get some of this going from the standpoint they're going to help me navigate the waters, or us navigate the waters at the Capitol, because I don't know how to do that. And this time, rather than, you know, I did have a conversation with the governor about it. So
yeah, I think we're making good progress.
And this right here would just kind of add to it. I think I think we're going to get a real surprising result back from this question, but it's a question I think we certainly need to ask. So
we just need to refine the finer points before moving it to next week, the week's weekly business meeting. So
there are some finer points to be refined. I would specifically go to the final sentence of the explanatory statement. The Board of County Commissioners estimates that, under present trends, a special assessment of X per square foot of property used for marijuana production provide X annually in revenue to Yosemite County. I know you've run some numbers.
Yeah, I've asked Julie to get me the current numbers on how many applications we have. And, for instance, on the recreational side, how many square feet of property we've made application for, that they've made application for, and then same thing with the number of plants on the OMP site. So we need current numbers on that. We can run the numbers and say, like I did some about 2 months ago, and I've been using $1 per square foot and $50 a plant and to fill those numbers in. But however, if I dropped it to 80 cents a square foot and $35 a plant, I still came up to somewhere in the $10 million annual range, which is substantial money. I don't know what the current is because I know she's had some applications since then. I want current numbers before we do that.
So I'll work with Commissioner DeYoung to get those current numbers.
Yeah, I'll get those and current numbers for you.
And make any other refinements.
Fill in the blanks and go from there.
And yeah, we'll sit down and make any further refinements before.
Yeah.
But I
think we do need to add, because we've made reference to both medical and recreational, we need to add something as far as on that last sentence to something per square foot of property used for marijuana production from the rec side and so much per plant on the medical side. I think we need to have those two numbers, and then we can get some sort of on that.
I thought we were only mentioning that the previous one had gone to the five counties, that we're not actually recommending that it only allow the five counties. And the explanation statement limits it to the five counties.
Yes, it does. And the reason the last time I talked to Rob Bouvet is he suggested doing just the five counties at this time, not all of the state.
Okay.
And so I think this is baby steps. If this works for the southern five counties, and then it seems like it's something that needs to go, I know, why would you think that, and you made a perfectly good argument, why would anybody in one of the other counties vote for something for Southern Oregon and not for the rest of it? The alternative, one of the other ideas that came up was Representative Wilson said, well, we produce 40% of the marijuana in Southern Oregon that the state uses, so let's take 40% of the $115 million or whatever their tax revenue is. That'll never happen. And even anything we take out of the state, we want to fix our local problem with local by ourselves and not take from the state. We won't be a burden on the state and coming to them every year trying to get more money out of them, out of the marijuana thing. So that's what kind of the idea is. I did talk to Rob Bouvet about it. He said I would suggest leaving it just the way you have it right now with the five southern counties and go from there.
Sounds good. I think we can, work over those final
things.
We have to have it done by
Friday,
right?
Of next week, yes. The 17th. So,
you
targeting.
For the 22nd, I guess? What weekly business session did you want it on?
We've been aiming for the August 15th session.
So that's this Friday. It's got to be done, ready to publish.
Good point. Yeah, true.
Yeah, we don't want to miss that deadline, so.
Okay, we will make the deadline.
Yep, we'll meet the deadline.
I don't find the address.
Okay.
Okay, so any other questions on that? Discussion, comments? Okay. Seeing none?
I haven't read all of it, but I think it's really key that we explain the reasons for something like this. Looking for a revenue generator to make up the delta. Non-taxpayer-based funding for the law enforcement system that is, $7 to $10 million under where the historic average of needs to be, and that there's, since 2014, there's a new element to the economy that is causing challenges, and that a significant portion of the new industry is not conforming to market regulations, contributing to whatever you call it, not a black market, and that needs enforcement. So there's incentive for the industry to be a partner in putting together some enforcement on the regulations so that they're not negatively impacted being, you know, oversupply. Basically what the Oregonian...
Did you write all that down, Laura?
Basically what the Oregonian article said this morning, I mean, it's just, why would anybody, without regulation, why would anybody be in the legit market anymore?
Yeah.
You know, the stats that we got this morning from our code enforcement and planning office is like, there is a tremendous amount of people that are still going outside of the regulated market. They're getting paid twice, three, four times as much as somebody in the regulated market.
Where's
what did we just
incentive?
Do? Yeah. We just reinvented what we had prior to Measure 91, because there was marijuana being produced here by the tonnage. Mm-hmm. It was just behind the scenes.
And had been for a long, long time.
So three steps forward and five steps backwards, basically. Anyway. Something to that effect.
But if you had law enforcement that was leaning on the black market side of it, the illegal side of it, then I think you would get more people to go to the regulated
all
side.
All this money and legit, because they thought it was going to be well regulated, taxed, regulated, all that stuff. You got the taxed. Give them your regulation. Only on them, not on the people that are, you know, grossly.
Bless you.
Anyway. Cool.
Okay.
All right, off it goes.
Moving on to item number two.
Okay,
the fire question is really, is that where we're at?
That's, and that's, I gave Commissioner Hare the, I came up with two, we left off at kind of a draft stage on that, and so I put some stuff on paper, two potential questions, maybe they're worth something, maybe not, but they're,
can I read it?
Yeah, they're all sitting on Commissioner Hare's,
But can I read the
Yeah, I gave you all five.
Item number two, resolution number 2018-blank, in the matter of referring to the Josephine County voters at the November 6th election, 2018 election, an advisory question on road access.
Yeah, it could be broader than road access, fire. I mean, I really... you lead us through these, Wally. You know it. You've done the research on it. I'm just seeing it. So.
Yeah, this is brand new. All right, so... Given the minimal kind of directive, I went to Congressman Walden's website.
A lot.
And
I did.
I know. I was kind of getting my proxy,
just,
too.
Well, I just think that we're past missing. We shouldn't miss an opportunity.
Yeah. Here's one of them. So I went to Congressman Walden's website, saw what he's working on. He's got a couple of projects underway. The first has been going since 2015. It's the Resilient Federal Forests Act, also known as the Westerman Bill. Stalled out in, it passed the United States House of Representatives, but is currently stalled in the Senate. And the act is directed at addressing the threat of catastrophic wildfire. So if we wanted to keep going down that path, we have a few days left to do so. It's one idea for a question.
So we were at Walden's press conference where he talked about the element of, you know, a categorical exclusion.
Yes.
Right now it's 250 acres, and he wants to move it to somewhere around 6,000 acres.
Yes.
Which sounds like a lot and a big change. But relative to the Checo fire of 194, or the current stage of the fire that we have right now, when they grow together, do you get a CE on the Taylor Klondike, which will probably be 70,000 acres, 170,000 acres, 250 acres? Really? I mean, it was two fires, but then it grows together, and then you get... And it just... There's so much room for improvement in after-action forest management, prevention in the first place. I think this is the right tree to be barking up. I just don't know how you codify all of the concepts into something that the voters can actually respond to. Of like, basically, do you want catastrophic wildfires to keep happening? If not, do you want the federal agencies to do anything and everything within their power, either in existing law or laws to be changed to where this doesn't happen every year? Because what they've been doing right now is nothing. Basically, on the landscape of a million acres in the watershed we were talking about this morning, it drops in the bucket. I mean, the Clean Slate Project is the largest single project that the BLM has put forward in recent memory. It's 10,000 acres. What they're actually looking at doing, any kind of commercial harvest kind of a thing, is on 400 acres. Within that, there's thinning on 300 acres. You know, I mean, you just whittle it down to where you've got a million acres, and you're talking about spitting in the wind, basically, relative to what what is necessary.
Going back to this right here, if the pack of dogs that I run with, they're going to skip right over that because it is not in.
They don't.
It's not in.
I agree. The way it's worded is not going to hit it locally. It needs to be the topic, not or the subject matter, not the title of the.
Right. The Resilient Federal Forest Act, they're going to go, what is that? And I'm not going to read page 2, 3 through 47.
No.
But what if it said, should Congress pass something to.
Forest management legislation.
Yes.
Correct.
Catastrophic.
Yeah. To avoid.
I think that's what he did. He gave us a foundation to say, okay, dial it. Layman's voter term.
Normal term.
This kind of gets at it from a different, same question, different angle. This one, Walden, got passed unanimously through the House. So, much approved by all.
Okay.
Has to do with the Crooked River Ranch.
Right. Yeah.
So, and, you know, you might be able to explain this in a way that people can.
What's construed as a local forest? What's defined as a local forest?
You could say Josephine County. Forests in Josephine County be excluded. So on the caption, I had to limit it to 10 words.
So wilderness studies, is it like designating a study area kind of basically is a federal agency's proxy for locking something up?
Yeah. I think that particular area was locked up since 1995.
Oh, yeah, they can study it in perpetuity, which really it puts the resource management plan, whatever has been adopted for it, pretty much on hold.
Yes.
It's a monument designation by default without executive order.
Yes, and Congress unanimously acknowledged that kind of action creates a risk of catastrophic wildfire.
Well, it's abused, too, by the agency. They're applying it all over the place. It's a tool in the tool chest that they're just. Well, let's just call it a study area. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go through all the process of having Congress redesignated or or the political challenge of a president, you know, by executive order expanding a monument. It might be a little too specific.
It might be.
But just another.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, this is another angle.
Yeah.
So last night I talked to Merv George about the road system again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tracking down an old map to show what the old roadway system was in that area and say, we need to maintain these roads, whatever designation, because you guys, when you're deciding where to make your fire lines, you're using roads that exist or that you've previously used on fire lines. So what do we have to do to get a road network through there for closer in? If you saw this morning the line that they are using for their next point on the Klondike fire, you'd be appalled. They're taking Bear Camp all the way where it hooks down to the south and that straight line down to where the Chetco burned. So everything that burned this last year, they're counting in this huge square like this to burn again. And about 11 miles west of where the current Taylor Creek fire is, or I'm sorry, this year.
If you could just map that out, we'd appreciate it.
Well, unfortunately, it goes all the way off the map this far, if you saw how far they're planning. And this portion of the Klondike, they say they're concerned about the Chetco River effect, wind effect. The Chetco wind effect that is going to pick up in the next 2 weeks, in the next 2 weeks to send all this way. So their next line of contingency is off the map over here. Nothing in between here, any road system that they're willing to cut it off. And all the way up to Bear Camp over the top, and they're talking about a full square. And at this point, because one of the Chetco runs last year was 11 miles in one day. And so that's why they're counting out if that wind happened, what we're doing. But every bit of their decision making, this fire line that they're growing up here to connect with the Taylor Creek, it all has to do with whatever roads they can connect. And if there's not a road there, they're not using a barrier, except for this one that they created, a fire line and dozer line.
And that fire line is holding out?
Well, look at the growth here. And this is all private forest land right here that is going to be sacrificed from private timber holdings. And that was one of the concerns at the public meeting last night.
Not all of it. Let's be honest.
There's a
significant square in there.
That portion right there was all private. But that was the concern that the public had last night. Our private lands, are you going to compensate us when you burn through our property to save everybody else? And the answer is no. But they're trying to connect this, and then they're going to get down to the bottom of the hook and try to come back this way to connect with the south line to try to keep it from getting into Soma. But it all has to do with what roads are open, what roads are maintained. And when I brought up to Murph having that discussion, because every winter we get to what roads do we close, his response is, well, let's do these wilderness studies now of these roads, these environmental impacts of these roads now, so we can justify having them open or at least maintain
their route. Technically, a lot of those are 2477 roads, and it's illegal to close them in the first place. They should have never been decommissioned. And maybe this is grounds for some sort of a legal action to say that you put the county, you put areas in jeopardy because you didn't abide by FLIPMA under 2477. I don't know.
Well, and that's why I'm looking for some of those older maps that show what the road systems were.
What the other prior road to system was.
I bet they don't have a map. So the first one to come up with a map is going to win.
Well, we have them.
We have them.
The community has them.
And that's what we need to show that those road systems were there. So if they're looking for lines to draw of stopping the fire sooner, it's going to come down to these roads. So I only went on that tangent because of the connection of this, that if we ban a wilderness study, that was the justification Merv George used for saying that if we...
need a wilderness study to do that.
It was either an environment... It was a study that to be done to keep those roads maintained.
Probably like an ESA.
Environmental study, potentially. I just want to make sure that this doesn't prohibit the other from happening, because we need those roads to keep these footprints of fires smaller.
Why don't we cut through all that other stuff and just say, do you think that that's basically what I started with. Should federal agencies maintain road infrastructure to combat, you know,
for the purpose of being able to fight catastrophic wildfire and minimize the damage? Got to be. They're not going to know what wilderness studies are. They're not going to know what the July paragraph of HR 2075. None of that means anything. It's just yes or no. Should we reopen all the Forest Service roads and maintain them?
Or maximize road access to
maximize road access to.
But is it today's road access or is it historic road access?
Historic road access.
Because historic road access, there were roads all through there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's not anymore.
So return to historic levels of road access throughout forested properties?
For maximum benefit of preventing catastrophic wildfires.
Yes.
So let's readdress this on Thursday. I think we've got, if you guys are receptive to a concept about fires, mitigation, I think that there's something we can...
I think it's a legitimate question to ask, because I think people are out there going, why are you putting these fires out? And if roads happens to be one of the reasons why it's not happening, then we need to have a discussion about roads and see what they think.
And
Can we do that, Wally?
And it doesn't hurt to think of who could use the information, too, because if he's trying to do something for us, then...
Right.
Both of these, I like the concept of trying to ask the questions, but I just want them worded in a way that we'll actually get a response that's meaningful.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've got
Thursday's
on two,
agenda. Then? Yes, we do. Thursday's agenda it is. And I think Commissioner Borgen, there was another one that I was...
Item 3.
Under the impression that there was lack of interest, but...
So I was trying to verify from the last time. So Wally wasn't here when we brought up the separation from Oregon question, and I was trying to remember what we had decided on whether or not to ask the question. We had removed it from State of Jefferson or this and that, but just putting out that advisory question, as was said in the public meeting that one time, that we can put forth a question, should Josephine County even study the options for separating from Oregon? And that way...
And not depicting where to go.
Correct. Just simply, should Josephine County study options for separating from Oregon? Because there's a lot of questions to be had. The State of Jefferson says you guys need to put that on there. Well, is it State of Jefferson? Is it something out of California? Is this and that? Are we even going to expend resources to even study the impact without checking with the voters first?
So you're just saying just a general statement.
And this is what Wally had prepped before. I just, quite honestly, could not recall what we had And you weren't here for the discussion, so I just didn't recall where we're at with it, and I want to make sure before we lose a deadline that it was asked if we could ask the question, then another group asked that we not ask the question because too many questions existed. So then it was kind of like adjusting the question to be, should it even be studied or explored?
Explored. I like the word explore better than study. It's personal. The Jefferson County Explorer Office for separating from Oregon.
One of the considerations is outside of these questions that we've often. So we need to work with Rhiannon about the cost. Mm-hmm. What we don't want to do is be the reason why we go to an extra page in a ballot. So we've always kind of, we can put forward the, and then we have like a later date where we can pull it if it fits really well. But the last thing we want to do is take a $1,400 question and make it into a $14,000 question. Yeah. Because we pushed the ballot for an advisory question to the next page. So just a consideration that, you know, it's fine to put them out there, but understand that you may have to take off one or two if that happens. And okay. There's usually a date where she can kind of tell us, well, this is what it's looking like, and so just something to be conscious of. I'm not so sure that the state of Jefferson, it felt right before, but I think in lieu of what California was doing, I just don't know that it's got the same political atmosphere, that it's the right time. For me, I think that there are a lot of people that are going to be caught out of left field. The smoke one, certainly not. You know, that's everybody's experiencing. It's relative. But the state of Jefferson one, some people are just going to see that as, you know, they don't understand that that's an actual viable option, concept, or what have you. They see it as kind of like I don't want to be, this isn't me, this is saying what people think about it, but like Bigfoot. Is kind of like a branding element to the rogue attitude of a region. It isn't a legitimate option for them in their minds. They're thinking of it as like a branding thing. So I don't feel like the community has necessarily been educated holistically, that they're ready to say, is this something that, you know, has viability that we need to even act on? It's kind of, in my opinion, like we're not maybe there yet. And really, it's the state of Jefferson people, proponents. They need to get out. And if they're really serious about this, they need to be into Rotaries of the world. It needs to be to that point where it's like a concept that the community is actually discussing and potentially can get behind before it gets to a non-binding question, in my opinion. But for that, you're not really asking well-informed voters potentially on the issues.
Well, I like it in the summary because it does. It pretty well spells out the reasoning that it is a possibility in paragraph 2. Paragraph 3 explains in Northern California decided to form a new state called the State of Jefferson, which makes that tie that it's right, that'd be right across our southern border. So I think it pretty well. I have no problem with the way this is worded. I think it sounds pretty good.
Proposition 9, since I drafted this, Proposition 9 has been removed from the ballot by the Supreme Court of California,
right.
So that line would, of course, come out. But I did further research this today, and apparently Proposition 9 is one of seven times, there have been formal efforts to break the state of California into more than one state. 1859, 1965, 92... 2013, 2016, so...
Anything in
Oregon? State of Jefferson.
No, I mean...
Yeah.
State. On a statewide ballot?
Oh, nothing...
Because those were like legislative initiatives, citizen initiatives.
Citizen initiatives, right. I... No.
That kind of draws my point.
Right.
That's why every county in Northern California has got, you know, a signed resolution to that effect. We're not the same. It hasn't been... proposed talking. So.
Well, I think this question just asked, should Josephine County study or explore the options for separating from Oregon? If he comes back, absolutely not, then you don't even worry about it anymore. mean, the people have spoken again. But, you know, the state of Jefferson, folks, I think it's a question worth asking. I don't know what the result, I don't have a clue what the result would be.
I'm not ready to stop pursuing it yet until I can try to reach out to more information, but I don't want to miss a deadline for getting it in if we need to pursue that. So I'd rather continue with it until if we need a pull, we can look at that option.
Okay.
I think one of the reasons why we're not seeing the group in our weekly meetings, as they promised to do, is because we said we were going to do this.
We said we were going to do something, which, I think...
We said we were going to explore this. We never
committed to putting it.
You said it might be a good option for a non-binding question on the November ballot.
And I don't disagree with that. I think that's a question that asking questions. This is a way. This is a good way that everybody's going to get those questions, and they're busy reading the ballot, they're voting, so rather than just send out a survey or call into the courier or whatever, you know, this is, these are probably going to get some pretty good results.
Well, and we can work on the summary. I know there's, or the other one too, as far as saying we've been asked by locals to explore resolution supporting this. We know there's many questions left unanswered, and that would take effort and resources to study even the impact. Should we even explore that as an option?
Is there an interest? Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I'll work with Christian Morgan on that. We can put something on next Tuesday, Thursday.
Okay. Is that good for you? Thursday?
This Thursday.
Just 2 days for you.
Okay. All right. Item number 3, social media archiving.
Yes. So, special guest star, Ron McCaffrey, he is here. We started this discussion, last week, and then that was because I didn't realize John was out of town. So, now we're resuming it, and he's done some research, so I think he's going to present it.
Good afternoon, commissioners. So, short answer to the question, are we going to archive social media, is probably yes. Went to State of Oregon Conference for IT Professionals last week, and it's among the laundry list of subject apps that the counties are addressing and cities. It's become too big. I just talked to Sarah here. We have probably over 40 sites now between Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's grown organically. It's just probably not the best way for it to grow, but it has grown that way. There's not a rush from what I can tell. Eastern Oregon, probably most of the counties do not have it. I-5 counties do, for the most part, have it. The people that went to this conference are the same people that typically go. They have more resources. They have more of these sites, and so they are protecting themselves from lawsuits and that kind of thing by archiving social media. It's a pretty narrow... field. Basically, all they do is capture what's posted on social media. So I talked to the sheriff to see how they were using it. Excuse me, smoke. So they have, they post a lot of public announcements and press releases on Facebook, and people comment on them. And they have a policy that is a lot like other policies, what's allowed to be said on the site. And so bad language is not used, and the person's...
Not permitted.
Is not permitted, and they're... so they're hidden from view. That's the way they manage that kind of thing. If you violate the policy, your comments are hidden. But if someone wanted to find out all of the comments that surrounded a particular inmate, for instance, you would need a tool to search that. And it might be months apart that something like that would happen. So social media archiving allows someone to go in and say, John Doe, I want all the comments that were made about John Doe. And it may, my feeling is it probably could eventually relate to actual criminal cases that happen, and some of those comments could potentially be evidence or that kind of thing.
So how is it done now? If it's not archived now, we don't have anything to give them back, and then they would sue for, you know, I know what you said, or I heard what you said, and you can't prove you didn't. Is that
Right. So our policy is being followed. I think we put news releases on it. We do, you know, Parks uses it for events that are on the parks. And it's not opinion driven. It's not policy driven. It's who, what, where, when events happening. And I think that's all fine on our end. And are we the archivers for what the public says on our websites? I think most people have taken the position that, yeah, we are. If someone said something on a certain day and they appear, we don't delete them or shouldn't be deleting them, it's hidden from view. Can you prove that it was there and what was said? And there's a record of that. I don't want to get into Wally's.
I think we were discussing this in executive session because there's things and questions I want to ask that I can't ask right now.
So I've got to
think there's a couple of things not on purpose, John, that you said that we should not have said. Your first point about, are we going to archive social media? Yes, we are. I really felt like that was a position that this side of the table was going to make. If all I'm discussing is to whether or not, what's it going to cost, to what degree, then that's a totally different conversation. But I thought we were still making the decision as to whether or not we felt it was in the county's best interest to do social media archiving.
Right.
And if that's the case, then there is a need, in my opinion, to have this in executive session because you're talking specifically about potential liabilities. And the whole reason why we're doing it in the first place is to mitigate those. That sounds like executive session to me. So I would prefer that we have it in that because I don't know how much progress we can actually make in this conversation until we have the freedom to be able to discuss it and not put the county at potential liability in any way with the conversation. So I don't mean to interrupt you. I think you're on a good track, but
I just
there's definitely good things for you to...
I don't want to imply that I could even make that decision.
I know.
I was saying that this was my opinion.
I know. And I also hear that the Joneses are doing it of the world, those who reside on the I-5 corridor. Yeah, they're bookends as far as the ability and having the resources to dedicate it to this thing. In my experience with a lot of larger counties, they never say no to a new program or something else. They just do it because they have the resources to do it. I don't want to ever feel like that I'm working in a county where that's possible. Sometimes you have to say no, and you have to do the cost-benefit analysis, and that's another conversation we need to have in executive session. If it's possible, I know that there's a proxy for it. There's got to be. That's your job.
Oh,
and
I'm
so
aware.
To not put the county at greater liability. I could ask 4 questions right now that would have us potentially in a lawsuit if there is liability here. Mm-hmm. I have to have a provision to be able to ask that and not mm-hmm. put the county at liability.
Well, let's set it up for executive session then. Okay.
That's what I
if I could, I just that was my lead in, and it was probably not the best. It was left foot and
it's
right.
It's okay. It's all right.
My point is that a dozen other things came up at this conference. Phishing attacks. How do we protect from phishing attacks? Well, that's another software package to do that, to educate people. Should we be capturing texting? Should we...
Would it be okay if you worked with Wally to talk about potential points of interest and liabilities associated with that? And we maybe have it a comprehensive, what are we doing online? I mean, to shoring up or making sure we're doing what we need to be doing,
so the
covering
big,
our bases.
The big question is governance of data. And what I'm suggesting is that we pull back to the 50,000-foot level and say, where is our data now? Who has access to it? Who should have access to it? Start at that level and then work our way down to the applications that we that would be my job to go out and figure out what's the best one to get. I'm actually saying let's step back and say, do we really need these things? And what do we really need to do? And do our policies meet what we intend that governance to be? And the custody of that data. So I'm suggesting that we do that work first before we make the decisions on specific data protection.
Are we under any timeline at all?
My opinion is no. I mean, unless there's a lawsuit that I don't know about, nobody's standing out front.
Well, even if there is today, there's nothing we could have done
right.
About yesterday. What I heard you say, and it's totally true, and I believe it, technology is changing exponentially. This, where we are right now, we have achieved here, this state, organically, grown organically is what you said. If we aren't aspiring to policies that transcend an organic exponential development, then we find ourselves applying something of yesterday's technology to today's, and we might be signing ourselves up for a bill that we haven't even thought about in a short amount of time. Right now it's seemingly reasonable. Tomorrow it may not be, but it's because you didn't anticipate. It wasn't the 50,000-foot philosophy that got you there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and you're saying it better than I could. I should have started there and said,
let's do this. I totally agree with that.
Okay, so it's going to be settled out that, Don, you'll get, you and Wally will confer and then bring it back to us?
I think there's other partners in this. Some department heads are very involved.
I have faith.
Yes, I'm sure there's some nexus to executive session. Yeah, I mean, certainly as the public records officer, that's an unavoidable.
There's another one. That's a good one.
Role there. Yep. So.
Good.
Okay, we'll wait till you're back.
Nothing but fun on that one, I'm sure.
Is there money for this? I mean, that's what I'm looking for out of this meeting, personally. Is there willingness to spend any amount of money on this kind of concept?
It depends on the potential liability. If I'm finding myself with a $100,000 lawsuit, and I can avoid that by investing $10,000 in an archiving system, but we need to explore the potential liabilities here. Okay. There's always money. It's just a position we don't hire. It's a program we no longer carry. I mean, that's an ISF rate that doesn't start at 7%. It's 9%. You know, that's what this conversation's all about.
That's where exactly where it left off was. There was a real discussion about the financial impact of social media archiving. That was kind of where things left off. So John was going to pick up at that point.
Well, where it starts, what we've heard so far, is with what our existing programs are today. I could totally see in the foreseeable future that all 400 employees have some sort of a nexus to the public and an official capacity. And so where we have 60 social media sites on Facebook or Twitter, someday it could be every employee has a Twitter account. Every employee has a cell phone with texting. You know, it could go to where it's not 10,000. It's a significant element of recording to where it's $150,000. Then our ISF rate has to go up by a quarter of a percent to accommodate that. That's the conversation that I think we need to be looking at it from a 50,000 foot. It sounds good to do it today. That's my fear. It's easy to do today.
Okay.
It's what happens tomorrow.
There's a department that wants to do it today.
They can hold off. This is a board policy. That's what my... Has a decision been made? No. The board makes that decision.
Which is why we're talking about it.
Great.
One further question. My intent was is to actually bring in some help for this.
Yeah.
So it's pretty wide. We're not going to be experts in all of it. I'm thinking that we get a group together, do the governance, come up with a budget number to get some assistance to do this, and then go after our whatever top priorities are.
What's that company that I refer to you that helps government agencies?
TIG, IntelliSys, there's several.
I'll have to look back. I know I had forwarded to you. They had some kind of membership that wasn't, it wasn't a high-cost thing, but just in protecting from things. I wonder if they might have the resources to help look.
Oh, MSISAC, the one you sent me about cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've gotten pretty religious with them. It's a very good organization, but it's a broad government, private sector working group for protecting, sharing data.
But I thought I remember hearing them at one of the two conferences I went to that I heard them speak, that they could help at a local level at least see risk levels or something like that. So
an assessment.
Maybe.
The thing that this leads into is, you know, I don't know that we're investing everything we should be in cybersecurity. So where we think we're putting money at $10,000, $15,000, $30,000 a year, and we're leaving ourselves. I mean, you've made good progress at this, but I know that's what sometimes keeps you up at night. That's what I think about is the fact that we're incredibly vulnerable over here at $1 million, and we're trying to stave off a $5,000 Freedom of Information lawsuit. That's not strategic in our vulnerability. We need to be acting that way. That I would rather put that $35,000 into malware or what have you, investment, as opposed to, you know, that kind of a conversation. So,
anything further?
I think this company is somebody we probably need to.
Yeah, I'll see if I can make sure that it's this same group.
Yeah,
that
you've been talking about it for a while, and I
think you've got
plenty of room for it.
Item number four is an MOU with the City of Cape Junction and Common Council for planning and implementation of improvements to security, lighting, and safety in downtown Cape Junction.
Okay, so it sounds like this flowed from a discussion had by the board, and MOU found our office, and so we wanted to make sure this is...
It's the final stage for a conversation that's been going on since we sold the Cape Junction building and dedicated those funds to capital improvements to the Illinois Valley and Cape Junction. The group that met really came up with a pretty comprehensive plan about this. This is one element of that, to do increased improvements in security and lighting and those kinds of things in the Illinois Valley. It's the MOU has been, you know, vetted through the ad hoc group in Cape Junction, and the city council's concepts have been incorporated into this. It's in your packet. I believe, if I'm operating off of memory because I didn't grab my laptop, but it's $105,000 out of the $296,000, I think, that's been the revenue from that Cape Junction building. And so it's one portion, plus $50,000 in a loan program for those businesses along the I-199 corridor who need a little bit of help. And that hasn't totally been, that'll be a separate, you know, agreement that we put together to govern, you know, no more than $2,500 by any one business, 1%, 0% interest, that sort of thing, repayment plan of a year or two or something like that. But you don't want to just say, hey, here, go do this. Well, I can't afford that. You know, here's an opportunity to help do that.
But I don't think that changes item D, which is make available $50,000.
No, it doesn't.
That stays in there, that amount, and then how you want to
and
give
it's
that
loan.
Out in a loan, yeah.
So
for loan to private businesses,
it'll come
okay,
out of that $296,000, and then be reinvested, you know, at the point of repayment, in either a revolving loan fund. You guys can figure that out, or it goes back into whatever those other three, four elements were that the group from the Illinois Valley wanted to do. So.
Where did the project cost come from, that $140 on the low side, $250 on the high side?
Those were just round numbers that the group put together. The first phase of this is a planning, you know, getting the scope defined specifically about how many lights, where they're going to be located, what businesses are choosing to participate, not all will, and then that will really refine the number. But our contribution is defined. They won't exceed. They'll need to come up with other funding sources to meet the...
Commissioner Morgan?
I had been approached by a city councilor who said they, in concept, liked the concept, but they had more edits to make to the... So...
I don't know. This is... I thought this was final. And
okay.
I thought Mayor Delegowski and the council had, you know, kind of signed off on this. But
okay.
I needed it to go through legal. I need you guys to sign off on that at some point. I don't, you know, can't keep waiting on everybody else to do it.
Yeah.
If we send them our final draft and they say, well, we want to tweak this, fine, ships it back up to us. But really, I don't want us to be the, we just got it a week or two ago. I don't want us to be the thing that's, well, mm-hmm. Board's had this for a month and haven't heard anything back. They obviously don't see it as a priority, so.
I heard there was quite a passionate discussion about it at the city council.
There was. The element that I've incorporated from the original draft was that the board will approve this planning scope before I feel comfortable just saying, here's $105,000. I want to know that 30% of it isn't being, you know, sucked away in administration and not actually going to security cameras and lights and real stuff. So I think our focus originally was like, we don't want it to just be spent on operations or planning. It needs to be, see what we did? You can point to it. It's a tangible capital investment in the community, right?
Well, I don't have any problem with sending this over there, and then and they may. If we sign it and send it off, like, see, then it's up to Mayor Dan to you know, take it to his council and say, you know, this is what they got. And,
yep.
And if they have a couple of tweaks, because I think you said that they may have some issues that have been... Oops.
They like the concept, but they the specifics they wanted to work on.
Okay.
Well, if you don't have any specifics or concepts to
no,
change...
No, I didn't ask. I figured that...
Let's ship it back to them.
Yep.
This is our shot, and, we'll do and if they need changes, they can make them. So I think we're okay with that.
That work.
Okay. All right. Item number 5, additional subject or matter from commissioners.
I have one. I just heard that Coos County is discussing closing their county lands to public access due to risk of wildfire. I'm taking a tour of the Taylor with Taylor Creek Fire with Streeter tomorrow. Maybe we readdress that on Thursday as to something of a concept that we want to entertain. I think we've only maybe done that once before.
How much of our holdings and inventory has gone up in these two fires?
Roughly two fires?
Just the Klondike one. And Taylor Creek.
The Klondike, I don't know that we've got a lot in that portfolio.
Probably. The Taylor is the one I've heard.
Got about 10% of our holdings. And the average is about 14 million board feet.
Is there, when do we say we want to salvage that?
We're doing that right now. It's happening, right? I mean, the idea, okay. Putting up timber sale packages,
right.
Talking with ODF yesterday, Streeter's already been in touch with Dave Larson. Those sales will be packaged up, approved by the board this fall, okay. Very, very soon.
There isn't any... They can't come in and say, no, you're not going to do that because it's county timber?
No. I mean, there's certain... Up to the board. We're conforming to the Oregon State Forest Practices Act, and everybody's subject to potential litigation, but our threshold is not to the same degree of state or federal lands.
Okay.
So that we haven't... I don't think we've been challenged on a timber sale for salvage. They're very conforming to all rules and regulations.
Okay.
So... The only real change is that, riparian boundaries still have to be respected under Oregon State Forest practices. Timber sales, reforestation under salvage provisions can apply for a year extension for reforestation. That's a provision that's in there, so you don't have to do it. There's elements to giving it time.
Do we have anything else that's in the path of this fire, as Commissioner Morgan says? They have this big line drawn out here and
no,
box that whole thing in.
Our stuff is the further
anything
it goes,
between Taylor Creek and Klondike Fire.
As it goes up to the Taylor Creek and the Galise areas, actually ONC BLM. It's the largest contiguous piece of BLM.
Okay.
Where the Klondike is the Kalmiopsis wilderness.
That's Kalmiopsis. That's
so there's very little in that portfolio. If it jumps up and goes over the road, which we're pretty confident that's been held. Then we've got stuff up in the Wolf Creek area and that sort of thing, but I don't think that's in people's contingency. Okay. So, but we're also not even halfway through this fire season, so just what we have right now is we lost about 10% of the volume holdings in the Douglas Complex in 2014. So in these two fire seasons, we've lost 20% of our portfolio, and that will likely change our sustained yield number from 6.2 million board feet to something different.
Okay. Thank you.
But you'll get a report on that closer to the end of the year.
So when do you want to bring back the consideration for closing county lands?
Thursday. I'll talk to Streeter about it tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll read what Coos County has entertained today, and we'll see if there's a need for us to consider
that. Is there cost involved with that?
No. I wouldn't think so. It's a public announcement.
We don't have to put up gates or anything like that?
I don't think so. That's... No.
Yeah.
That would be prohibitive.
It might be worth reaching out to the mining community to see the impact on their group.
We have no active mines on our property.
Okay.
So we don't... We wouldn't be doing that. We wouldn't necessarily be closing roads. I think we would say, easements might be, but I don't know. I'll work on that. It's a good thought.
Okay. All right. Anything else under item 5?
you were working on something that I was wondering how it was going. And it might be the option, the adapt thing, supply something else. But I didn't know how it was going. I'll think about it. We'll give it another shot.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, today is Tuesday, August 7th, 2018 at 1:55 p.m., the Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda items. Item number 6A is a confidential memo regarding county real properties under land sales contract, ORS 192.6602E. B is land lease agreement for boat concession at Lake Selmac Park, ORS 192.6602E. Item 6C is ground lessor's estoppel certificate.
Let's put it on pause for a minute.
Hangar consent to leasehold deed of trust between DB Financing USA LLC.
We lost our quorum, Commissioner, so let's
just keep it in a second. Excuse me. Let me back up. He dies in the back of my head. I'll start all over when we get a quorum. We have all set. Okay, thank you. 6A, confidential memo regarding real properties under land sales contract, ORS 192.6602E. B is the land lease agreement for boat concession at Lake Selmac Park, ORS 192.6602E. C is ground lessor's estoppel certificate, hangar consent to leasehold deed of trust between DB Franchising USA LLC, Lessee County, and lender for private hangar site lease at Grants Pass Airport, ORS 192.6602E. D is PILT payment lawsuit, ORS 192.6602H. E is confidential memo regarding formation of fire district, ORS 192.6602F. F is Luba Reman Shoemaker Ellison, 1995. Comprehensive Plan Zone Change, Russell Road, ORS 192.6602H. G is offer to purchase county real property, ORS 192.6602E. H, Land Use Enforcement, 3504 Azalea Drive, ORS 192.6602H. I is confidential memo regarding contract monitoring, ORS 192.6602F. J is Shauna Atterbury versus Josephine County, case number 18CV29473-ORS 192.6602H. K is James W. Trotter Jr. versus Josephine County Jail, ORS 192.6602H. His update on collective bargaining, ORS 192.6602D.
Sir, before you close the recorder, I'm just going to declare a potential conflict of interest on J. Shanna Atterbury versus Josephine County.
Okay, so noted. And approved representatives of the news media and designated staff should be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience, please ask to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during executive session except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back in the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 1:58. And if I could please indulge upon the two commissioners, if you need a break before we do that, please let me know, because we quorum left the room.
Sorry.
And I had to start all over again. Neither one of you's fault. Just if I would appreciate the courtesy.
As long as the record's on.
If you're going to do that,
I left first.
I just thought I could go to the restroom and be back before you're done reading the list.
Session at 4 p.m.
So, Mr. Chair, we have addressed all items A through L. I'd like to recommend that we. Under item 6A, the confidential memo regarding county real properties under land sales contracts, that we terminate the sale contract given a breach of contract in that element. So I think this requires a motion, so I would make that motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Item number 6B is land lease agreement for boat concessions at Lake Selmac Park. So I would recommend that the board ratify the lease termination letter. And we're going to have legal counsel sign that?
Yeah.
Or yes. That would be my recommendation.
Okay.
And that one doesn't necessarily require a motion. Item number 6D is the next one we need to take action on. And that we, I think we move this to a weekly business session because we've got time before September, mid-September, to agree to participate in the PILT payment lawsuit.
Is that with E?
Yeah. D is in David.
D is in David.
Sorry. The next one that we need, if you guys are okay with that.
Yes.
Okay. Item number 6.
You want me to speak?
Yes.
Okay.
So in a little more than a week, if you want to.
Yes.
We'll have that one on the agenda. Item 6F is LUBA remand, and that we approve the order to provide for a remand hearing, provide an opportunity for the applicant to apply for a remand hearing. So the language is good. I made a little bit of a change that the applicant needs to apply for the remand hearing.
Mm-hmm.
The board isn't doing that. The applicant is requesting it.
Okay.
And that should go to a weekly business session. It's an order like any other. So item number 6G, offer to purchase county real property.
Does that need a motion?
We had an offer to purchase from the county.
Yes.
So that we would delegate. Are we ready to sign off on that stuff? So I would make a motion to approve the offer to purchase county real property, tax assessor's map description 39-08-22-BC-002601-00.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion? Seeing none.
No other minimum.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. 3-0.
Item number 6H is land use enforcement at Azalea, that we would grant the legal counsel authority to proceed with legal proceedings.
Correct.
Yes.
At 3504 Azalea Drive.
Okay.
Item number 6I, I'm going to turn over to Commissioner Morton.
So we've given the staff permission to go forward, and legal's drafting the letter with amendments as we discussed to the contract deed.
Okay.
And authorized to sign by legal?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
Jay?
That was just an update, and the next one is just an update as well.
And then we're moving L to a future meeting.
Okay.
Yes. I think that Thursday's meeting.
Yeah.
Same agenda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Executive session.
Thank you very much. Item number 7, additional subject matter from commissioners. Yes.
I was approached by the incident commander from the representative from the state fire marshal's office regarding the conflagration. They're going to be wrapping up in the next couple days the conflagration and assistance from the state fire marshals and turning things over back to local fire protection. And so with that will come a dissolution of the agreement we ratified on Wednesday, which we signed the emergency back on, I don't remember what date I signed it, the 20th, I think, July 20th. So they'll be bringing forth the dissolution in the next few days. And they called, since I was the one that signed the original document, they said they present to me to sign the dissolution, which I said we would have to then ratify.
We have to ratify that.
But they are going to be in the next, probably by Thursday, wrapping up the state fire marshal's presence locally and turning it back over to local fire protection.
What does that mean for getting the fires put out, anything?
It just means that the structural task force are not here, but they've had lots of conversations with the local fire agencies as far as they believe what's there right now can be protected by them. That does not mean that the Klondike fire, so one of the updates, the group that's overseeing Taylor Creek, which is Pacific Northwest Team 2, has been put in charge of Klondike fire as well. to coordinate since they're kind of moving together. They want to make sure the safety efforts were in place. They have just a few more days before they're turned over to yet another team. In the meantime, the structures near Selma in this bottom corner, if it gets closer to an evacuation level, the Illinois Valley Fire Department could ask for conflagration requests from the state and then get the state fire marshal's help back in the Selma area. But for now, it's only in the Taylor Creek area. They're going to stay the next few days and help transition back to local. But they believe the homes are no longer at the risk of threat in the Taylor Creek fire. They are still working up in the Gleese Creek area and a little up on a Peavine on the north end.
Doesn't Illinois Valley Fire District have to expend all local resources, and that the IV Fire District has a mutual aid agreement, require regional... So how does that...
So Rogue Valley Structural Task Force is actually still assigned to Taylor Creek and will continue to be the local mutual aid task force as part of those decisions. But no, if the homes in Selma get to that point, it would be because the Rogue Valley Task Force is assigned to Taylor Creek still, if they went, they would hit that mark of being out of resources and it would be able to ask for that. So.
Okay.
Okay. Good report. Thank you. Okay.
I don't have anything.
Yes, Walt.
Board indulge me with one. Is it all right?
Yes.
So our legal administrator isn't here today, but there had been discussion off and on about a step adjustment for that particular position, and discussed it with Commissioner DeYoung, and so just wanted to find out if the board is okay with a one-step increase for the legal administrator position.
Is that something we usually weigh in on?
In this case, the board previously was in December of last year when the whole position was being re-engineered. And it was the board's desire then to bring it back for deliberate consideration around this time.
I'm okay with it, and I'm okay with ratifying it, but holding off until the codification project is completed with hearing one and two, first and second reading, and ratifying that step increase to the beginning of August or whatever month. But I can't proceed with anything until that is done, until hearing one and two are completed.
So the increase would start on August 1st? Is that what you're saying?
We would make the decision. The decision is made now, but it doesn't go into effect until after the first and second reading of the codification of the code, and it would be ratified. At what point that happens, if it happens in September, October, November, it would be ratified back to August, but it wouldn't happen until
the process is complete.
Is any of that process still waiting on us? Or is that already in motion and it's already...
Ultimately, it's always waiting. I mean, it's just... We don't really know. I mean,
but
it could be that it's... off to them, and they'll have additional questions.
DLCD could weigh in.
I don't know.
I just thought that position's responsibilities have been completed.
I don't know.
The questions being answered and sent back, the levels of that, the portion that was on that position have been completed.
The board's stated expectations from that period of time, back in that December time frame, have been satisfied from my perspective, yes.
So
she's done a lot. I mean, we've gotten as far
as I just, to me, I don't.
I've been here for three boards where it was told to me on your predecessor's watch, this is done. Don't worry about it. You told me in your first term, with all due respect, this is done. Don't worry about it. You guys may be still dealing with this throughout your term.
I'm going to say this. So does saying, okay, we're going to hold off until this whole thing is all finished off. I would like to have that person here to finish that project. If
it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
Then it really shouldn't matter. What I've been told innumerable times is that it's done. So.
Has the dates been set for the hearings?
I don't know. You guys know that?
I don't think
we have done that. No, we've identified dates for hearings, but no, we have not announced in terms
Why?
Of notice.
I think it's in September.
We've identified dates, but we got to get back to DLCD.
I thought we weren't waiting for them. They had 35 days.
We
knew.
Yes, the schedule for the hearing should be set. So these
if
are the
they're
things
not,
that
is an issue.
All right.
They were supposed to be set because...
We were going to set the hearing.
Yep.
We were going to send it to them. They have 35 days. And we were going to still set the hearing.
I'll have to find out.
That's what I remember.
I lost track of that.
We lose ground if we have to wait for them 35 days and do all that. It doesn't change the fiscal element. It just doesn't make it paid. It's right now, it's fine. You know, I'm actually back to August 1. But I just can't do anything. In fact, if I had it to do all over again, you know, through two different legal counsels, I wouldn't have supported any change in the structure of the legal counsel until this project is done. That would have been a decision 5 years ago, and I didn't. And now, at some point, you have to just say everything stops until this project is completed. Is a place you don't want to have to go. I don't know what else to do. But
I guess for me, one employee, well,
there isn't a negative fiscal impact. It will happen. It's approved if we do that today. It's done. It's just a matter of having it done. Let's schedule the hearings. Let's get them done. I would have been okay outsourcing the entire situation as I thought we fiscally did 8 years ago to some outsourced contractor. I don't care if it costs $100,000. I don't, to get it done. So that was an internal decision made by legal counsel prior to you. There's a degree of frustration with having asked something on day one of my first term that I think that I have been incredibly patient that I haven't had done today at the end of my second term. So I would have probably spent $500,000 to get the code codified. I don't care. I would have done it. And I probably could have convinced a board to do it when we had no money. That's how important this project is to me. So I don't know how else to do it.
So I guess I just am looking for a little more clarity on, say we get to the second code and it gets signatures from the community to block it or something. Not that we would, but at which point is this said done? Because you have one employee hanging on that.
I'd be okay with
versus
scheduling the first and second hearing.
But they should be scheduled already, and I was under the impression that they were going to be scheduled already.
I will get back to you on that.
Okay.
Both of you on that point.
I just want done, and assurance is more so than people saying it's done.
Yes.
Because I have literally heard that dozen times.
But we've also seen an employee working weekends and evenings to get this to where it is so that it can go to the LCL, whatever their initials are.
Yep.
And so it's, in my opinion...
That's an internal legal decision that that's how it was going to be handled.
And I guess that's why we don't...
Project appropriation.
One step isn't usually our decision. That's a department head's decision. And I think it should sit at the department heads.
I don't disagree.
So, where are we on this?
I think that said employee has really, you know, stepped up. I know what we said in December, and I think they've completed that. It's in somebody else's court right now. Yes, it's going to come back, but there's always going to be about that one person out there that maybe the. Somebody from Selma or something that says, oh, I think I want to stop there. Somebody from Hugo that says, you know, I think I want to hold this up. And I don't think it's fair to the employee that's been down here on the weekends and got his or her end of it all done, and now it's hanging on somebody else. I think she...
We're not there yet. So with all due respect, we're not. We haven't scheduled a hearing. The public hasn't even reviewed it. It's not for public distribution. It's still in our wheelhouse. So until the hearing is scheduled, I want it scheduled. That's me. Do whatever you want.
I thought I heard September 15th or something of that sort.
First and second reading scheduled in September, and I don't get a chance to be in office to sign it. The schedule gives me an opportunity to sign it. So I don't think that's first and second reading.
Okay, I'll see. Can that happen?
I think we're talking in terms of September.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get back to
whatever it is.
I can see, but that's yeah, going off the top of my head. I shouldn't spout dates.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay.
Without having it in front of me.
So let's get that followed up with so we can get this resolved.
Yeah.
So I'm 100% in favor of this.
I just think that it's not on this one employee's shoulders. It's on your shoulders.
Yes.
And
whatever it takes.
Yes.
So. And it's, in my opinion, it's not fair to hold hostage an employee that it's not on her shoulders.
Well, then grant it. Then we should grant it right now.
Then
and reassign it to somebody else if necessary. I can't express enough how this needs to get done yesterday.
I think we're all
whatever it takes. But being given assurances for 8 years that it's done has gotten us to today.
So you understand, and you're going to get those dates to us straight away. We want those dates set.
Yes.
Let's go.
So.
First order of business.
Okay.
Okay. Seeing nothing else, then we are adjourned at 4:17.